Morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one that's gathered here this morning. It's also good to be back and back here again with yous. Message this morning, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy, or even, well, 1 and 2 Timothy are addressed from Paul to Timothy. And Timothy was I don't know his age, but there's different references made as a youth or young. He wasn't definitely an old man. Most likely under 40, for sure. We don't have definite age, but Timothy was definitely a young pastor entrusted with leading the church at Ephesus. And these letters Paul wrote to Timothy, of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and well, especially in this chapter here, it is made reference to him being young, or as verse 12 mentions, his youth. And there's a chance that his youth or youth or young age, some people can look at as that as a potential barrier to his leadership, to his authority. And Paul does touch on that in these letters. Also in the early church, age often correlated with authority and respect. So if he was in a leadership position and the bias of that time, and even today, we can look at we look at older people, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need the older folks, the parents, the grandparents, because they have experience, live life longer than us younger ones have. And also in biblical times, elders were typically seen as wise and experienced. But Paul emphasizes that spiritual maturity and calling are not limited to age. Now, just like that for each one of us. Whatever age we are, we can still be spiritually mature. We're called to be spiritually mature. Our age does not limit our influence. Because we do have an influence. There's someone around us, whether it's siblings in the home, whether it's nieces and nephews, whether it's younger grades at school, or maybe we're middle years of life, their influence on children, influence on peers. And the older age, your influence on, still an influence on children. Maybe they're no longer at home. Maybe they're all married, but you still have an influence on grandchildren. And again, influence on those of your age group and those coming behind. So we all have an influence, all have a calling, And that is not limited to age. Quote I came across says, a wise, disciplined young man is better than a careless and selfish old man. In 1 Timothy 4 here, we have Paul instructing him to be, in this case, Timothy was a leader, to be a leader, be a good minister. But also, like this morning, there's the influence, the example that each one of us have. 1 Timothy 4, I'm going to read the whole chapter, starting at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. But bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, which with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. And we'll stop at the end of chapter 4 there. Verse in particular I would like to look at this morning is verse 12. There's a lot we could pull from this chapter alone, but I'd like to zero in on verse 12. And Paul is instructing Timothy here, let no man despise thy youth. Let no man simply look down at, again, your age. Don't let your age hinder the work God has called you to. But be thou an example of the believers. This morning, be thou an example of the believers is a call for each one of us. If we have believed in Jesus, believed in the gift of salvation, we are then called to be an example. So if you want a message title, you can simply use that phrase, be thou an example. And being an example of the believer suggests a life that is seen and heard in the world, not only in the church. So in other words, it's not just here this morning. It translates into everyday life. Wherever we go, whoever we rub shoulders with, whether it's believers or non-believers, we're called to be this example. And as Paul mentioned, let no man despise a youth. Again, age never disqualifies anyone from modeling Christ. This morning, young believers today can also be an influence. It's not just young people that stand out in the society around us. It's even different when there's someone, a believer, living out God's word. There's a difference. But I believe it's especially as young people, as you live your life, and as you grow up, or get older, and you interact with the community around you, people, there's something especially impactful about a young person that is making choices totally based on God's word, but it's totally contrary and opposite to society. And society notices that. So especially want to encourage you youth, those of you that are here, maybe even those of us that are still feel youthful, our lives can be and should be a powerful witness in our communities through our life of godly character. So being an example of the believer, there's six words here. I'm going to use each of those as a point for the message this morning. So beginning of chapter 4, we see society. And we even see it, not only society, the world around us, but its impact on the church. In latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That happens today. People that know better, been taught better, they make choices and depart from the faith. Maybe it's simply, as he says, they give it's seducing spirits or doctrines of devils. And it goes on, verse 2 and 3, 4. And sometimes when people depart from the faith, they do push an anti-God agenda. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. There's just a few mentioned here. But what am I doing? What are you doing personally? No, I'm not in control of the choices you make. We each are in control of our personal choices. But yet sometimes, I think when verse 12 comes in here, is Paul is saying, live your life as God wants us to, based on his word. And yeah, there's people still have to make a choice. But as they have God's word lived out in front of them, it makes their choices, it brings them to light. Either it's one or the other. So let's start with the word, inward. This simply interprets as speech, what we say. The person's speech is the index to his life. Words reveal the heart. Jesus mentions that different times in the Gospels, but simply out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's inside eventually does come out. If there's good inside, there's good gonna come out. If there's evil inside, evil's gonna come out. So what we say is one indication to what's inside. Proverbs 18:21 reminds us death and life are in the power of the tongue. This morning, it's not just what we say, but it's also how we say it. That has, our words have an impact. Yes, what we say, but also how we say it. Tone of voice, facial expressions. You can say the same sentence, but in different ways, and it can come across different. And that's based, as I said, based on our tone, our body language, also goes along with our speech. Words shape atmospheres. They shape friendships. They shape reputations. And you probably can think of some examples of people you know, and your mind often goes to, well, what the conversations you had with them or heard them talk. And that sticks in your mind. That's their, in your mind, their reputation. Friendships are built or destroyed through our words. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Paul even mentions that back in verse 7, "Refuse profane and old wise fables." Refuse gossip, slander, idle talking, swearing. Anything that's corrupt or filthy. If that's what's coming out of our mouth, well then that's, again, as Jesus says, that's what's inside in our hearts. Do we keep promises we make? If we say we're going to meet someone, or have a meeting scheduled at a certain time, are we there? If we can't make it, do we communicate that? Do our words mean something? This morning, our speech should be truthful and loving. Our words need to edify and build up. Our words should teach truth, encourage growth, and reflect Christ. Next one is in conversation. And often we use this word instead of word, instead of speech or conversation. But this word conversation is actually an old English word in this definition. The word has evolved over time. But the word conversation here simply means how life is lived. Or another word we can put in there is conduct. How shall we be an example? Is in our conduct, in how we live our life. Conduct encompasses one's overall behavior and lifestyle. So it's, yeah, simply what we do, how we live life. conduct or conversation is the fruit of our lives or the proof of our profession. In other words, what we truly believe comes out in how we live. Our actions define us, not your words. There's people who have learned the art of speech or art of words. They know what to say at the right time, depending on who's there. And they, smooth talker is sometimes another word we use. And you can listen to that. But observe their life. And there's many people, they know how to talk to get out of situations, whatever the situation may be, they through talking, they can make it sound all good or they weren't in the wrong. But observe their life. Because what they actually believe, what you actually profess, comes out in your actions, not your words. Our lifestyle reinforces or contradicts spoken truth. So in other words, what we say is either reinforced or contradicted by our conduct. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct." Again, well, this word conversation again. "Be holy in all manner of life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Another verse out of 1 Peter 2:12, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." There again, our conduct, our lifestyle, having your conduct honest. Does honesty matter to you? Do we live a life of integrity? And there again, this, and maybe we, that word integrity, sometimes you see, what is integrity, or what does integrity actually mean? It can mean different aspects, but in other words, integrity is also what you say is what you'll do. Or you're going to keep things honest. You're going to keep things above board. And with my line of work in accounting, it's some people try and fudge numbers. It's their integrity. And sadly, the Anabaptist community is not exempt from that. It always raises questions in my mind when we have an Anabaptist person. There's legitimate ways to reduce taxes. I'm not against that. But when you want to do things that are not with integrity, of trying to bury things, so to speak, so you don't have to pay as much tax. And when I see that on the financial side, my mind goes, how else are they living their life? If they're not being integral in living a life of integrity, being honest in finances, that has to bleed out into other areas of life as well. So this morning, our daily habits, our work ethic, our honesty, our hospitality, simply the way we do life speaks louder than our actual words. Next one is in charity. Charity is the highest level of love. Another word we use sometimes is agape love. It is the love that expects nothing in return. And agape love, or charity, is love whose origin is from God, and it is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Ghost. Luke 6, verse 35, out of the TTB, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Highest, for He is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil." Also another one, John 13, 35, "Everyone will be known by this, that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love your enemies, or love, simply love, show love to those you are in contact with. Do good because of God's love in our life, and do it without expecting anything back. 1 John 3, verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" This morning, the love or the charity in our life, of God's love in our life, is the love of God in our lives, or the lack of it, will be evident in how we relate to others. So this morning, do we treat others with concern and care? Do we show agape love? Is it the selfless, sacrificial love, as Christ displayed his love for the church? Fourth one I have is in spirit. Matthew Henry's commentary says in spirit, defines it as in spiritual mindedness and spiritual worship. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." And also verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit." This morning, our spirit is the God-conscious part of us. Our spirit is also where the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And it's our spirit that's where our exchange takes place with God. So this morning, are we yielded open to the Spirit? Are we allowing the Spirit to guide and direct us? Romans 8, verse 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what are you minding, or what are you following, or what are you pursuing? So if we're going after the flesh, the things will be after the flesh. If we're going after God, things of God, the Spirit, It will be the things of the Spirit. And Spirit also came across, could also speak of our attitudes or disposition we carry. This morning, are we an example in our attitudes? What type of attitudes do I have, do you have? It can be very, very easy to have good attitudes when life is going well. What about when things are challenging or maybe in our mind less than ideal? The fifth one I have here is in faith. Faith is trustful dependence on Christ acted out. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. This morning, faith is and must be a constant in our Christian experience. Faith is referred here to both our personal trust in God and also our faithfulness in life. For the Christian, faithfulness means loyalty to Christ, regardless of the cost. It can also mean loyalty to one's married partner. It can also mean loyalty to the family of believers. So where our faithfulness? Am I faithful to the vows I've made? Whether it's baptism, those that are married, or marriage vows. This morning, faith also needs to hold firm in trials. Faith holds us firm in trials while at the same time depending and leaning on God's promises. We trust God in hardships through our faith. And that in return shows others that God's word is reliable. Faith acts. Obedience gives faith a visible form others can follow. Faith is unwavering trust in God's promises and remains steadfast even in the midst of challenges, losses, persecution, reproaches, false accusations. In other words, whatever life deals you, faith is steadfast, is constant. Faith gives God the credit, whether it's good or bad. The last one I have here is impurity. Purity involves moral and spiritual integrity. Purity relates to both cleanliness and holiness. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This morning, purity. And this is a subject that affects both sides of the house this morning. Yes, it affects our moral purity. But I believe also starts with, as Psalm here says, a pure heart. Jesus also mentions that in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity starts by guarding the heart and mind. Most people don't do an immoral or impure action out of the blue. There's thought processes, there's say, hidden in our heart before it comes visible. So this morning, if we're going to guard our hearts, guard our minds, what media am I consuming? There's other ways we can too, but believe with all our technology, whether it's podcasts or YouTube clips or audiobooks, even there's a lot available. And things can be accessed on our devices that before you couldn't. You had to go somewhere. This morning, what are you consuming? What are you drawn to? Psalms 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word." If you are struggling, or if you want to maintain purity, consume God's word. Read it daily. Ask, and this, if we allow the Spirit to work, the Spirit will guide us. With the indwelling of the Spirit, our bodies are called the temples of God or the temples of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we honor God with our bodies. Flee situations that invite sexual compromise. Dress modestly, reflecting inner holiness rather than drawing attention to the flesh. And there's others. Again, what is coming across our screens? This morning, purity keeps us clean for God's use. A strong faith and a commitment to purity help believers stand firm in a world that often opposes Christian values. And you know that, you see that as well as I do. The world is farther away and even anti-Christian values. But are we committed? First of all, are we committed to be an example of the believers? Live out godly character. This morning, every believer today, regardless of our age, as Paul says, let no man despise thy youth. We are all called to live out an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And when people do that, when people see that, it puts the gospel on display. Some people, I think you've all heard that saying, that the only Bible some people read is a Christian's life. And when we are an example, people see that. People notice. And it can also be an invitation to others to follow Christ as well. So this morning, be thou an example. Let's kneel for prayer.